Why, hello and welcome to Studio Classroom on the Air. My name is Gabe, and I believe your English will improve today. We have been learning about a very famous author in history, someone who had a great imagination. Do you have a good imagination? Well, the title of today's lesson is The Story of Charles Dickens. Yes, we're continuing to learn about Charles Dickens. And today we'll answer this question. What kinds of stories did Charles Dickens write? Yes, what kinds of stories did Charles Dickens write? And what nice things did people say to Charles Dickens? What nice things did people say to Charles Dickens? All right, are you ready to begin? Open your magazine. Let's get started.
The Story of Charles Dickens. Dickens wrote stories about people such as David Copperfield and Oliver Twist. Folks around the world were fascinated by the people his imagination brought to life. In Dickens' stories, people could conceive the way a shoe polish factory looked or learn how being in a debtor's prison felt. Dickens' books also became popular in America. When he went to America to read his stories to people, large throngs greeted him. While he was there, England passed laws to protect children who had to work. The Parliament also closed debtors' prisons and passed laws so poor children could attend school.
Hi everyone, welcome to Language Lab. 这篇文章的第一个重点，我们看 conceive 这个动词 ，C-E-I-V-E 这个字根有接受的意思，所以 conceive 是指想象或构想。例如 ，throughout the movie, the audience could conceive how life was in the concentration camp. 整部电影的过程让观众们可以想象在集中营里面的生活，或者是 I can't conceive how anyone could be so mean to their own children.我没有办法想象有任何人可以这样对自己的孩子这么无情。接下来我们看 throne 这个名词， throne 是指人群或群众，例如 a big throne of reporters gathered outside the changing room waiting to interview the football player， 一大群记者等在更衣间外面要访问这位足球球员。 throne 也可以当动词，意思是指群聚或蜂拥而至，例如 shoppers thronged to the stores to buy the latest version of the cell phone. 顾客们涌至商店要买这个最新版的手机。
Thank you, Michelle. Okay, we're continuing through the story of Charles Dickens. And his life seems to be going up and up, right? It's improving, he's learning a lot, and he's trying to help the society around him.
That's right. And right here at the beginning of our lesson, we read, Dickens wrote stories about people like David Copperfield and Oliver Twist. These are actually two very good books, and I've read both of them. Have you, Gabe?
Rebecca, no, I have not, but I really should read them because I do enjoy Charles Dickens' writing. I will make a note to read David Copperfield and Oliver Twist. Okay.We read on here, folks around the world were fascinated by the people his imagination brought to life. And I am too. I am fascinated and interested by the characters that I read in his books. He really knows how to bring these characters to life.
And let's actually talk about that phrase, to bring something to life. This just makes something more real or exciting. So it becomes real and exciting. And Charles Dickens did a great job at bringing things to life. So let's say, for example, you know, have you seen the movie The Book Thief?
Ah, yes, I did. I read the book, too, actually.
Oh, okay. You've read the book and you've seen the movie.
Yeah.
Well, then you probably would agree with me that The Book Thief really brings to life what life would have been like during that time period, during the war.
It's true. Yeah. It gave me another a new appreciation for that time period. And other movies have helped bring maybe different time periods in the past to life. And of course, here at Studio Classroom, the review skits help bring our lessons to life. If you're an actor, then of course it's your job and pleasure to bring characters to life on stage or in a movie.
Exactly. Okay, well, we read here in our lesson, in Dickens stories, people could conceive the way a shoe polish factory looked, or learn how being in a debtor's prison felt. Now, there's a word that I'm thinking of, something that, if there's something in your mind, or in your imagination.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, what is it, Gabe?
I know, it's like, you've got like this eye in your mind, right?
You've got it.
You can picture things because of your mind's eye. So, of course, we have two eyes on our heads, but that's not what the mind's eye is. Your mind's eye, you use this phrase when you talk about your imagination or what you can picture when you hear a story or when you read a story.
Well, you know, in my mind's eye, my little niece is still 1 year old. But actually, she's six, you know. I live here in Taiwan. She lives back in the States, so I don't see her that often. So in my mind's eye, she's still just a little girl.
Oh, that's a great way to use that phrase. So in your mind, this person has not grown up yet. They still look a lot younger than they are now in your mind's eye.
Exactly.
Sometimes I might say, oh, I can picture this in my mind's eye if I'm reading something. Or if someone is telling me about their experience, if they're a good storyteller, then you can really picture it in your mind's eye. So that's what Charles Dickens does. He helps people to really see things with their own mind's eye.
Exactly. Okay, well, continuing with our lesson, we read Dickens' books also became popular in America. When he went to America to read his stories to people, large throngs greeted him. That would be large crowds of people greeted him. And while he was there, England passed laws to protect children who had to work. It definitely seems like his stories were paying off. People were making changes.
I think they were. I think he was really making a difference. The Parliament also closed debtors' prisons and passed laws so poor children could attend school. That's what his dream was. He wanted the government to adopt laws or to adapt the laws so that they could help poor people and poor children to attend schools and things like that. Well, friends, Steve and Ken are waiting in the info club for us to talk about the difference between America and the U.S. Is there a difference? Let's go to the info cloud.
Here's a question for you English learners. What's the difference between America and the United States?
Well, the short answer is that the United States is the more formal term. America is used mostly in casual or spoken English.
Right. When filling out a form, for example, we should write the United States or USA and not America to indicate the country.
But dig a little deeper and you'll find that the answer may vary depending on whom you ask. Ask a non-American, especially someone from Central or South America, and the answer will likely be that America is a continent and that the United States is the only acceptable name to use when referring to that country.
This is, of course, due to the fact that the Americas refers to the continents of North and South America. Some people who live there feel that people in the U.S. stole the term America and by extension the term American to refer specifically to their country and themselves, and that it's unfair. After all, a Panamanian or Argentinian is also an American.
Well, they do have a point. However, we should keep in mind that people in the U.S. have been calling their country America for more than two centuries. The second U.S. president, John Adams, used America to mean the U.S. in his inaugural address.
Also, America is the shortened name of the United States of America. And shortening the official name of a country is a common practice. For example, Australia is actually the shortened form of the Commonwealth of Australia.
So, how do we know when America is used to refer to a country or a continent? Context. Usually, context can tell you when a person is talking about the rest of the continent instead of just the United States.
美国有人称之为 the United States, 也有人称之为 America。差别在于 the United States 是比较正式的名称 ,America 比较口语。如果你在填表格想要 表示美国，那你就要填 the United States 或 USA, 而不是 America。讲到 America, 很多中南美洲人并不认同它是代表美国。因为他们认为 America 应该代表美洲，北美洲、中美洲以及南美洲叫做 The Americas。美国人凭什么将 America 占为己有，用来表示他们的国家呢？其实美国人从开国以来就采用 America 当作他们国家的简称，因为它的全名是 The United States of America。就像 Australia 澳洲是来自The Commonwealth of Australia, 澳洲联邦。那我们又该如何分辨 America 是代表美国还是美洲呢？那就要看 context, 它的上下文。从一句话的 context 应该就能看得出它是指美国这个国家还是美洲大陆。这就是今天的 Info Cloud, 我们下次云端见。
Welcome back to Studio Classroom. Friends, what would you like to do to change your society? What kind of changes would you like to make? How can you be a part of that? Well, this is a question that Charles Dickens had. We already know he had a wonderful imagination, and he wanted to use his stories to create fun stories for people so that they would see the problems in the world around them and want to make changes themselves. That's exactly what he did. We already found out about how England's Parliament passed laws so that there would be no more debtors' prisons and that children, that poor children, could now begin to attend school. Friends, what can you do to influence the society around you? Right now it's time for us to continue learning about this amazing man, this man with a great imagination, Charles Dickens. Here we go.
The story of Charles Dickens. After Dickens returned from America, a great dinner was given in his honor. "Your imagination, Mr. Dickens, has given us great pleasure," said one host. "You have become the most popular novelist of our times, and you have helped to change some of our laws so that they are more fair to the people." One woman exclaimed excitedly when she met him on the street, "Mr. Dickens, let me touch the hand that has filled my home with many friends." That pleased Dickens the most.
OK, 接下来我们看的是 imagination 这个不可数名词。我们昨天才学到它的形容词是 imaginative, 是指具有想象力的。今天我们要学名词 imagination, 意思是指想象力。例如 ,artists need imagination and creativity so they can produce artwork. 艺术家们需要有想象力跟创意才能够创作出艺术作品。imagination 也可以指想象或幻想。例如 There are no monsters in your closet, it's only your imagination. 衣橱里面没有怪物，那只是你的想象。最后我们看 exclaim 这个动词 ,ex 这个字首有向外的意思， CLAIM 这个字根有大叫的意思，所以 exclaim 是指惊叫或呼喊。例如 Rita exclaimed in delight upon hearing the news that her son got accepted by Harvard. 当 Rita 听到她儿子被哈佛接受的消息时，开心地叫了起来。或者是 the fans exclaimed with excitement when their team scored. 当他们支持的球队得分时，这些球迷兴奋地大叫。And now let's get back to our teachers.
Well, here in our lesson, we read, after Dickens returned from America, a great dinner was given in his honor. Now we're going to pause for just a moment and talk about this phrase in someone's honor or to do something in someone's honor. This just means that you do something in order to celebrate or show respect to someone. Do you have a good example?
Well, in our lesson, okay, Charles Dickens, they were giving a dinner in his honor. So Charles Dickens was alive when they were giving him this dinner, of course. It was to honor him. Sometimes we do things to honor people that have already passed away. Mm-hmm. For example, we learned about William Shakespeare, right? And there are festivals held in his honor, especially this year. There's a big festival held in Shakespeare's honor.We might also say it's held in his memory, if the person has passed away.
Exactly. Now, you could also say, Jeremy loves music, and it's his birthday, so we decided to organize a music concert in his honor. Okay, well, here in our lesson, we're talking about this big dinner that was given in honor of Charles Dickens. And we see a quote here, Your imagination, Mr. Dickens, has given us great pleasure, said one host. You have become the most popular novelist of our times.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's high praise. Sometimes people don't celebrate an author until after they have passed away. Maybe they were too smart. Maybe their society didn't know how to appreciate them at the time. But then later on, they appreciate them. However, in Dickens' own time, people really did love his work.And so this was high praise for him. Mm-hmm. He really had a vivid imagination.
Ooh, vivid imagination. Yeah. You are absolutely right, Gabe. If you have a vivid imagination, this means that you can create stories, vivid stories in your mind that are very clear, very powerful, and have great descriptions.
Exactly. So friends, imagine that you have a blank book.That is a book with lots of blank pages on it. It's up to you to create a story. Use your imagination. Do you have a vivid imagination? Can you really create stories that will make people's minds' eyes just wake up and just want to know what's going on with that story? They can really picture what you are writing about.
Well, you know, Gabe, I have a very vivid imagination. Therefore, I do not like to watch...scary movies, because when I watch a scary movie, I automatically create these pictures in my mind about the scary movie, and that's not healthy for me.
All right, okay, so you have a very vivid imagination.
I do.
Yes, I think it's a good thing to have a vivid imagination, and we need to watch what goes into our heads, okay? That's very important. Well, let's go down to the end here, where we're learning about all these different compliments, and hey...That's a great word. People are praising Charles Dickens. Another word we could use is the word compliment.
That's right. And of course, everybody likes to get compliments. Everyone needs compliments every once in a while, including Charles Dickens. Well, right now, it is time for the SC Challenge. Yes!
For today's SC Challenge, we found a couple of our friends, Luke and Tim. Are you guys excited?
Yes, I'm very excited.
Yeah?Yes, I'm excited.
Yes, good. Excitement abounds. Okay, well, here are the words from our lesson that you can choose from. Exclaimed, throng, conceive, and that phrase, bring to life. May the best man win. Okay, raise your hand when you know the answer. I can't believe I got 100% on my exam, Paula. Blank. Eh? Yes, right over here, Tim?
Exclaimed.
Exclaimed. I can't believe I got 100% on my exam. She exclaimed. Very nice job. 1 point for Tim. A large blank gathered around the singer. Yes, Luke.
Throng.
A large throng gathered around the singer. Nice job. 1 point for Luke. Yes. Strong Luke. Okay. Third one. Here is the game point. It is hard to blank that many people today don't receive an education. It is hard to blank. Hold up. Luke's got an answer.
Conceived.
Let's see. It is hard. Yeah, hold up. It is hard to conceive that many people today don't receive an education. Yes! Very good job. 2 points for Luke. He is our winner for today for the SC Challenge. So you get a free Googaloo.
I'm so excited. Yeah. It's cool.
It is pretty cool. And does Tim get one too? He gets one to match our SC Challenge Googaloo. Friends, that is all the time we have for today. We'll see you next time for the SC Challenge. Yes! Goodbye.
Oh, Mr. Charles Dickens. Oh, let me touch the hand that has filled my home with so many friends.
Well, I am so pleased to hear you say that.
I'm fascinated by the people your imagination has brought to life.
Like David Copperfield and Oliver Twist?
Yes. Oh, thanks to you, I can conceive of the way a shoe polish factory looks.
And how it feels to be in a debtor's prison?
Yes, not a good feeling, I might add.
Well, I am happy to report that Parliament has closed debtor's prisons.
Oh, yes, and passed laws to protect children.
And allow them to attend school.
Yes, thanks to your stories, Mr. Dickens.
Well, yes, I suppose so.
I heard that you just returned from America.
Throngs of people greeted me there.
I suppose you're happy to return home, though.
Yes, a great dinner was given in my honor.
Of course. People claim you're the most popular novelist of all times.
Well, my writing has had an impact on society.
Laws are fairer than before, thanks to you, Mr. Dickens.
Well, I have to be going now.
Well, goodbye, Mr. Dickens.
Goodbye. may I have my hands back, please?
Oh, certainly. I'm so sorry. Goodbye, Charlie.
Well, I could talk more about Charles Dickens, but we're out of time today. Friends, you are doing a great job. Keep up the good work.
And make sure you join us next time for another exciting lesson right here on Studio Classroom.